This is the reading for July 14th. Proverbs chapter 3. My child, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in mind. Then you will live a long time, and your life will be successful. Don't ever forget kindness and truth. Wear them like a necklace. Write them on your heart, as if on a tablet. Then you will be respected and will please both God and people. Trust the Lord with all your heart, and don't depend on your own understanding. Remember the Lord in all you do, and He will give you success. Don't depend on your own wisdom. Respect the Lord and refuse to do wrong. Then your body will be healthy and your bones will be strong. Honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits from all your crops. Then your barns will be full and your wine barrels will overflow with new wine. My child, do not reject the Lord's discipline and don't get angry when He corrects you. The Lord corrects those He loves, just as parents correct the child they delight in. Happy is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gets understanding. Wisdom is worth more than silver. It brings more profit than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you could want is equal to it. With her right hand, wisdom offers you a long life, and with her left hand, she gives you riches and honor. Wisdom will make your life pleasant and will bring you peace. As a tree produces fruit, wisdom gives life to those who use it, and everyone who uses it will be happy. The Lord made the earth using His wisdom. He set the sky in place using His understanding. With His knowledge, He made springs flow into rivers and the clouds drop rain on the earth. My child, hold on to wisdom and good sense. Don't let them out of your sight. They will give you life and beauty like a necklace around your neck. Then you will go your way in safety and you will not get hurt. When you lie down, you won't be afraid. When you lie down, you will sleep in peace. You won't be afraid of sudden trouble. You won't fear the ruin that comes to the wicked, because the Lord will keep you safe. He will keep you from being trapped. Whenever you are able, do good to people who need help. If you have what your neighbor asks for, don't say, "Come back later, I will give it to you tomorrow." Don't make plans to hurt your neighbor who lives nearby and trusts you. Don't accuse a person for no good reason. Don't accuse someone who has not harmed you. Don't be jealous of those who use violence, and don't choose to be like them. The Lord hates those who do wrong, but He is a friend to those who are honest. The Lord will curse the evil person's house, but He will bless the home of those who do right. The Lord laughs at those who laugh at Him, but He gives grace to those who are not proud. Wise people will receive honor, but fools will be disgraced. 2 Chronicles chapter 17. Jehoshaphat, Asa's son, became king of Judah in his place. Jehoshaphat made Judah strong so they could fight against Israel. He put troops in all the strong walled cities of Judah, in the land of Judah, and in the towns of Ephraim that his father Asa had captured. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he lived as his ancestor David had lived when he first became king. Jehoshaphat did not ask for help from the Baal idols, but from the God of his father. He obeyed God's commands and did not live as the people of Israel lived. The Lord made Jehoshaphat a strong king over Judah. All the people of Judah brought gifts to Jehoshaphat, so he had much wealth and honor. He wanted very much to obey the Lord. He also removed the places for worshiping gods and the Asherah idols from Judah. During the third year of his rule, Jehoshaphat sent his officers to teach in the towns of Judah. These officers were Ben-Hail, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nethanel, and Micaiah. Jehoshaphat sent with them these Levites: Shemaiah, Nethaniah, Zebadiah, Asahel, Shemiramoth, Jehonathan, Adonijah, Tobijah, and Tob-Adonijah. He also sent the priests Elishama and Jehoram. These leaders, Levites, and priests taught the people in Judah. They took the book of the teachings of the Lord and went through all the towns of Judah and taught the people. The nations near Judah were afraid of the Lord, so they did not start a war against Jehoshaphat. Some of the Philistines brought gifts and silver to Jehoshaphat as he demanded. Some Arabs brought him flocks, 7,700 sheep and 7,700 goats. Jehoshaphat grew more and more powerful. He built strong walled cities and towns for storing supplies in Judah. He kept many supplies in the towns of Judah, and he kept trained soldiers in Jerusalem. These soldiers were listed by families. From the families of Judah, these were the commanders of groups of 1,000 men. Adnah was the commander of 300,000 soldiers. Jehohanan was the commander of 280,000 soldiers. Amasiah was the commander of 200,000 soldiers. Amasiah, son of Zichri, had volunteered to serve the Lord. These were the commanders from the families of Benjamin. Eliada, a brave soldier, had 200,000 soldiers who used bows and shields. And Jehozabad had 180,000 men armed for war. All these soldiers served King Jehoshaphat. The king also put other men in the strong walled cities through all of Judah. 2 Chronicles chapter 18. Jehoshaphat had much wealth and honor, and he made an agreement with King Ahab through marriage. A few years later, Jehoshaphat went to visit Ahab in Samaria. Ahab sacrificed many sheep and cattle as a great feast to honor Jehoshaphat and the people with him. He encouraged Jehoshaphat to attack Ramoth in Gilead. Ahab, king of Israel, asked Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, "Will you go with me to attack Ramoth in Gilead?" Jehoshaphat answered, "I will go with you, and my soldiers are yours. We will join you in the battle." Jehoshaphat also said to Ahab, "But first we should ask if this is the Lord's will." So King Ahab called 400 prophets together and asked them, "Should we go to war against Ramoth and Gilead or not?" They answered, "Go, because God will hand them over to you." But Jehoshaphat asked, "Isn't there a prophet of the Lord here? Let's ask him what we should do." Then King Ahab said to Jehoshaphat, "There is one other prophet. We could ask the Lord through him, but I hate him. He never prophesies anything good about me, but always something bad. He is Micaiah, son of Imlah." Jehoshaphat said, "King Ahab, you shouldn't say that." So Ahab, king of Israel, told one of his officers to bring Micaiah to him at once. Ahab, king of Israel, and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, had on their royal robes and were sitting on their thrones at the threshing floor near the entrance to the gate of Samaria. All the prophets were standing before them, speaking their messages. Zedekiah, son of Kenaanah, had made some iron horns. He said to Ahab, "This is what the Lord says. You will use these horns to fight the Arameans until they are destroyed." All the other prophets said the same thing. "Attack Ramoth and Gilead and win, because the Lord will hand the Arameans over to you." The messenger who had gone to get Micaiah said to him, "All the other prophets are saying King Ahab will win. You should agree with them and give the king a good answer." But Micaiah answered, "As surely as the Lord lives, I can tell him only what my God says." When Micaiah came to Ahab, the king asked him, "Micaiah, should we attack Ramoth and Gilead or not?" Micaiah answered, "Attack and win, they will be handed over to you." But Ahab said to Micaiah, "How many times do I have to tell you to speak only the truth to me in the name of the Lord?" So Micaiah answered, "I saw the army of Israel scattered over the hills like sheep without a shepherd. The Lord said, 'They have no leaders, they should go home and not fight.'" Then Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, "I told you, he never prophesies anything good about me, but only bad." But Micaiah said, "Hear the message from the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with his heavenly army standing on his right and on his left. The Lord said, 'Who will trick King Ahab of Israel into attacking Ramoth and Gilead, where he will be killed?'" Some said one thing, some said another. Then one spirit came and stood before the Lord and said, "I will trick him." The Lord asked, "How will you do it?" The spirit answered, "I will go to Ahab's prophets and make them tell lies." So the Lord said, "You will succeed in tricking him. Go and do it." Micaiah said, "Ahab, the Lord has made your prophets lie to you, and the Lord has decided that disaster should come to you." Then Zedekiah, son of Kenaanah, went up to Micaiah and slapped him in the face. Zedekiah said, "Has the Lord's spirit left me to speak through you?" Micaiah answered, "You will find out on the day you go to hide in an inside room." Then Ahab, king of Israel, ordered, "Take Micaiah and send him to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son. Tell them I said to put this man in prison and give him only bread and water until I return safely from the battle." Micaiah said, "Ahab, if you come back safely from the battle, the Lord has not spoken through me." Remember my words, all you people. So Ahab, king of Israel, and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went to Ramoth in Gilead. King Ahab said to Jehoshaphat, I will go into battle, but I will wear other clothes, so no one will recognize me. But you wear your royal clothes. So Ahab wore other clothes, and they went into battle. The king of Aram ordered his chariot commanders, don't fight with anyone, important or unimportant, except the king of Israel. When these commanders saw Jehoshaphat, they thought he was the king of Israel, so they turned to attack him. But Jehoshaphat began shouting, and the Lord helped him. God made the chariot commanders turn away from Jehoshaphat. When they saw he was not King Ahab, they stopped chasing him. By chance, a soldier shot an arrow which hit Ahab, king of Israel, between the pieces of his armor. King Ahab said to his chariot driver, "Turn around and get me out of the battle because I'm hurt." The battle continued all day. King Ahab held himself up in his chariot and faced the Arameans until evening. Then he died at sunset.
The book of Galatians.
My name is Paul. The Galatian church is being infiltrated with legalists who challenged my message of salvation by faith in Christ alone. It is necessary for me to counteract the influence of these false teachers and to reestablish the essential and elemental message of the gospel.
Chapter 1.
From Paul, an apostle chosen not by any group or individual, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who brought him back to life, and all the believers who are with me, to the churches in Galatia, goodwill and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ are yours. In order to free us from this present evil world, Christ took the punishment for our sins, because that was what our God and Father wanted. Glory belongs to our God and Father forever. Amen. I'm surprised that you're so quickly deserting Christ, who called you in his kindness, to follow a different kind of good news. But what some people are calling good news is not really good news at all. They're confusing you. They want to distort the good news about Christ. Whoever tells you good news that is different from the good news we gave you should be condemned to hell, even if he is one of us or an angel from heaven. I'm now telling you again what we've told you in the past. If anyone tells you good news that is different from the good news you received, that person should be condemned to hell. Am I saying this now to win the approval of people or God? Am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be Christ's servant. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the good news I have spread is not a human message. I didn't receive it from any person. I wasn't taught it, but Jesus Christ revealed it to me. You heard about the way I once lived when I followed the Jewish religion. You heard how I violently persecuted God's church and tried to destroy it. You also heard how I was far ahead of other Jews in my age group in following the Jewish religion. I had become that fanatical for the traditions of my ancestors. But God, who appointed me before I was born, and who called me by his kindness, was pleased to show me his son. He did this so that I would tell people who are not Jewish that his son is the good news. When this happened, I didn't talk it over with any other person. I didn't even go to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was. Instead, I went to Arabia and then came back to Damascus. Then 3 years later, I went to Jerusalem to become personally acquainted with Cephas. I stayed with him for 15 days. I didn't see any other apostle. I only saw James, the Lord's brother. God is my witness that what I'm writing is not a lie. Then I went to the regions of Syria and Cilicia. The churches of Christ in Judea didn't know me personally. The only thing they had heard was this: the man who persecuted us is now spreading the faith that he once tried to destroy. So they praised God for what had happened to me.